This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Ahoy, crew members, children, moms, dads, grandparents, and great-grandparents. Yes, everyone, welcome aboard the kids' canoe. We will be paddling through the waters of the Word of God, looking to various parts of creation that Jesus holds in his hands. So put on your life vest of love and hold fast to your paddle of faith for a great adventure into God's creation. Well, ahoy crew members, and welcome again to the Kids Canoe. Now, if you remember last time, we were talking about and gave a story from Aesop's Fables about the ant and the grasshopper. Remember, the ant was busy preparing for the winter to come, and the grasshopper didn't. And, of course, the grasshopper got into big difficulty when winter occurred. Now, also, there's a scripture that sort of says the same thing. It's in Matthew 25, 7 and 8. It's the parable of the 10 virgins. There were 10 virgins that went out to wait, and when they were waiting, they had taken oil and lamps. But, you know, some of them, after they trimmed their lamps, they were foolish ones. They said, we don't have any more oil. And they wanted to get some from them, but they said, if we give you some, we won't have enough. And while they went, then the Lord returned while they were gone. So it's important for us to be prepared. And there's a little creature that I remember in our nature center. We called him Mr. Chips. He was a chipmunk. In fact, his name is really interesting because in Latin and in Greek, his name is Tamias Striatus. And you know what the word Tamias means? It means a good steward. And one of the things I noted about chipmunks, if you ever watched them, they would always fill their cheeks and they would puff out with the nuts and so forth. And then you know what they did with them? They actually took them to the burrow that was 3 or 4 feet underground, and they would store them there for the winter. So they were good stewards. They took good care of their food. In fact, one of the interesting stories that happened to me, and one of the things that happened at the Nature Center, is we had this little chipmunk named Mr. Chips. And one of the things I did in the morning, I would come in, and it was this big bag of sunflower seeds, and I would go and scoop some up and bring them to Mr. Chips. Well, what happened one day when I opened the bag, there was a chipmunk inside. A wild chipmunk had actually got in, and he was eating the sunflower seeds, and he actually couldn't get out of the bag. So I got a thick glove on, and I grabbed him, and I thought I'd do a nice thing. I'd give Mr. Chips a friend. Well, I put this new chipmunk in with Mr. Chips, and holy cow, I never thought it would happen, but they started to fight. Actually, one of them actually got bloody. What I didn't realize is chipmunks like to be alone. In fact, the only time chipmunks get together with another chipmunk is a female, and that's to make more chipmunks. So one of the things I had to do is quickly get him out of there. So he has some good qualities. He's a good steward. He takes all his food, and he stores it, and he makes a big feed pile, and he feeds on that all winter long. But, you know, in my yard, I always saw chipmunks back in Maryland, and one of the things also I saw was squirrels. And, you know, squirrels are not really good stewards like the chipmunks were. And the squirrels, what they would do is they would get their nuts and acorns and so forth, and they'd bury them very shallow, and then they would forget where they buried them. Now, this was a good thing and a bad thing, because a lot of times they never knew where they buried them, and they never got to eat them. But other times they would actually, by accident, they would dig them into a shallow hole, and they would sprout and become another acorn tree. So that was good, but there were also some bad things about not knowing where you put your food. There was something else that happened. And that was that sometimes the squirrels would bury them shallow, and then they would lay there and they would ferment. And you know what they fermented into? Alcohol. And a lot of times squirrels would eat the nuts that had fermented, and they'd get drunk. And actually, sometimes squirrels would fall out of a tree and actually die. So you have to be careful. You know, one of the things is be careful what you choose to follow. And one of the also things I noted about squirrels was the fact that they actually, I would see them after snowstorms dead on the side of the road. And I would wonder why all of a sudden. And I asked one of my fellow workers, do you know anything about why I see so many dead squirrels, especially after a snowstorm? And there was a reason. It was because when it snowed, we put salt on the roads, and the squirrels were going there to lick the salt, and they forgot to be wary, and a car would come along and run them over. So we have to be careful about not only being prepared, but we also have to be careful about what we bring into our life, because some of the things can be bad. And one of the things I noted, one day I walked outside, and I was looking at a squirrel, and he was barking at me, because they frequently get angry when you in their territory. And this squirrel was barking at me, and all of a sudden a hawk came down and grabbed the squirrel and took off with him. Well, one of the things that I realized was he was distracted. He was distracted by looking at me. And, you know, Scripture tells us distraction is often a tool of Satan. And one of the things we have to be careful of is, are you distracted by anything in your life? Do you perhaps play too many video games? Do you perhaps watch too much TV? Do you perhaps get on the computer and you're not looking up good information but bad? So distractions are very terrible. This squirrel got basically eaten because he was barking at me and forgot to look at the hawk that was coming down upon him. And you know, I experienced something about distraction also when I was diving. I actually taught scuba diving, and I was down in Florida, and I was diving on a wreck. And one of the things I noticed is every time I went out into the water, a barracuda would be close by. And I wondered, well, why is the barracuda always following me? And I remarked to one of the leaders there in Florida of scuba excursions that they had. And I said, why do these big, giant barracuda follow us? And he said, they're basically following you because they're hoping that a fish would get zeroed in on you and forget they were there. And so we have to be really careful, because sometimes distractions, like the barracuda was hoping that the other fish would be distracted by us and he would go and eat them, just like that squirrel who was barking at me. So distractions, we need to be careful about distractions. We need to cut them down wherever we can. You know, we know that there's about 65,000 people in the last 2 years that have died from traffic accidents. Do you know that most of them were the result of distracted driving, whether they were on their cell phone or thinking about something else? So we have to basically remember Ecclesiastes 7:18. It is good to grasp the one and not the other, but whatever we do, we have to avoid extremes. So it's okay to watch a little TV, but don't let that be a distraction from you looking into the Word of God. In fact, Philippians 4:8 tells us, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. This is Philippians 4:8. So we have to basically be a watchtower. In fact, I have posted watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem, that they will not be silent day or night. This is in Isaiah 62:6. They actually had towers that basically made men to be watchful. So we have to devote ourselves, in Colossians 4:2, to prayer and being watchful. And in fact, we also have to be basically look at Matthew 25:13. Watch, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. And you know what? It tells us in 2 Timothy 4:8 that when the Lord returns, if we're being watchful, we're going to get a crown for that, a big reward. Being watchful is very important. And one of the things that happened, if you remember the parable that God gave us, that the Lord gave us, the parable of the sower. Remember that while men slept, a sower came and sowed tares into the field while men slept. You see, they weren't being watchful. It's important for us to be watchful. The parable says that while men slept, the enemy sowed tares among the wheat. So what we need to do is we need to be early risers. You know, a boy who rises at 4:30 to deliver papers, you know, that was me. One of the things I talked my father into doing was being a paper boy. And to be a paper boy, you had to deliver the morning paper very early. And I would get up at 4:30, and unfortunately, my father wasn't too happy about it, but he got up because he drove me around and I threw the papers out the window. Well, you know, we need to be like paper deliverers, but we need to be doing that with the word of the Lord. We need to get up early. We need to read scriptures before we start our day. So, you know, you'll rise early for many different things, but do you rise early so you can pray and learn more about the Lord? Okay, so we don't want to be like the enemy that's be like the men who slept while the enemy came. In fact, in Peter 5, 8, 9, it says, watch out for the great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. We need to be alert. We need to be watchful. And remember what happened to Jesus? He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. In fact, his sweat was like drops of blood when he was thinking about all the things he was going to have to endure in dying for our sins. And you know what? He had brought his apostles with him, and they were sleeping, okay? And he went to them and said, couldn't you not even watch with me for an hour? So, you know, one of the things we see that the angels were there, and they actually helped support him. In fact, you know, the angels worry much. I mentioned earlier about the angels being involved, and I think when I was almost killed by the car accident that I had, I think that we know that Jesus had angels constantly around him. For example, the angel Gabriel predicted his birth. And remember, angels were present there when he was born, and they were singing. And remember, the angel warned Joseph about Herod was going to try to kill Jesus. And remember, when Jesus was tempted, okay, by the devil, and for 40 days, the angels came afterwards and ministered to him. And then at Gethsemane, remember when the apostles were sleeping? The angels came and they ministered to him. Okay, and angels were also helping Jesus when at his betrayal. Remember, Jesus said, listen, if I wanted to, I could call 12 legions of angels for my Father and they would come. And don't forget, it was the angels that rolled away the stone from his tomb. Also, remember, the angel announced the resurrection of Christ. Okay, and also we see the Bible again says angels will be with Christ at his second coming. So we see that, but a really important verse, 1 Peter 3:15. I love this one. But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asked you to give you a reason for the hope that you have. This is called our testimony, and I constantly want people to be aware that they have a living testimony of how they came to the Lord. We need to share that with people. That's an important part of what God wants us to do. We don't. Sometimes we think we have to be in some big auditorium to give a witness, but you know, we witness every day by our life, and we should always be ready to give that example of what the hope is inside of us. And you know, remember, the Lord gave Adam and Eve even the garden. Remember what the Lord said in Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took man and put him in the garden to work it and to care for it. So part of it is that we need to basically be working, and we need to be ready to work, and we need to be ready basically to give our testimony. Now, there's a Psalm 23, and most people know it, but one of the things that says is, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. You know, I always wondered about that verse. Why is goodness and mercy following us? Why isn't it leading us? And I remembered something that happened to me as a little boy. We would go to the parade down Howard Street when the circus came to town. And you would see paraded back. You'd see the giraffes. You'd see the camels. You'd see the lions and the tigers in cages. You'd see all these animals. And what would happen is there would be clowns following them, and they would be picking up after them. Okay, it's sort of like us. Okay, the Lord has to follow us because we're going to be sinning. And it's like the droppings from these animals. The Lord has mercy and goodness, and it follows us because we need to be basically cleansed every day. And I don't care who you are, sin is going to always be present in your life, and you need to be prepared for it. So the Lord anoints us and meets us with living water, and we need to be refreshed every day with that living water. And, you know, remember that verse, and I think I started out our series with this, 2 Timothy 3:16, for all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. So we can correct our mistakes, just like we see the clowns following behind all the animals and picking up after them. And the Lord picks up after us for those that believe in him and those that repent. Now, there's something that I use at a home lots of times, and that's we have a Brita filter. And in the Brita filter is charcoal. It's called activated charcoal. And what it is a charcoal is heated up to a very high temperature, and it creates a lot of pores. And what happens is when you pour that water through the activated charcoal filter in, say, a Brita filter, it has all these little channels to trap all the impurities. And so we need to be like that. We need to be on fire for the Lord. We need to know His word, because if we don't, okay, we can be led astray. We need to filter everything through the word of God, through a filter, and the filter is the word of God. In fact, when you hear people talk about anything, remember to use that filter. If what they're saying to you doesn't match up with what you've learned in Scripture, you should be asking questions about that. Why do you feel this way, or why are you saying this? And there is a famous book that was written by John Bunyan, and it was called Pilgrim's Progress. And I actually led classes in teaching this particular book. It was one of the most read books next to the Bible. It was probably the most read book up until the early 1900s. And in it, there's this neat part where Christian, who is the pilgrim, okay, he comes into the interpreter's house, and he sees this vision. And the vision is a giant fireplace. And on one side, the enemy is pouring water on the fire, and on the other side, the Holy Spirit is feeding the fire with wood. So we need to really remember this. In our flesh, in our bodies, there's going to be evil that's going to be constantly trying to douse out the flame that's in us, and we're going to remember to rely on the Holy Spirit who is feeding the fire from the other side. So, you know, we see this in Jeremiah 23:29. He says, "If not, my word were like a fire, and like a hammer that breaks the rock." And he says also, "Like a burning fire shut up in my bones is his word in my heart." You see, he had a fire that was in him that was from the Holy Spirit. And remember, when you are a believer, you have the Holy Spirit in you, and you need to feed that fire. Okay, so again, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So we know that in Ecclesiastes 3:11, this is a really important verse. I hope you remember this. Ecclesiastes 3:11, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. He also has set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end." Now, there are several things in this part. One is He's put eternity in our heart. You know, believers know that this is not the end. Our life, when it ends, okay, it's just a new beginning. And we have to make sure we understand this. And one of the things is that the psalmist says, "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things from your word." So, "It is a glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to search out the matter." Now, one of the things I want you to understand is this verse is very important. It says that the glory of God to conceal things, but the honor of kings to search them out. Do you know who the kings are? Yeah, it's us. We're kings, we're priests, and we're prophets. God has said that. In 1 Peter 2:9, it says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light." And also we see that in Acts 11:26, you know what the early disciples were called in Acts 11:26? They were called Christians. Okay, and so we are Christians. In fact, it's very important that we understand that, because our actions basically are our testimony, and people see them. You know, there was Mahatma Gandhi made a statement. The British were there, and they controlled his country. And he said, "You know, I love to listen to the witness of Jesus Christ." And he said, "I would become a Christian if it weren't for what I see in other Christians." So we have to be very careful about this. We have to be very careful about how we act. You know, I mentioned before that I was a school teacher in a public school system for 40 years. But you know, during that time, several things occurred that actually I was able to use my Christianity, even in public school. In fact, I started a Bible study after school in a public school. So teachers that are listening to this that are Christians, yes, you can start a Bible study in your school after school. Okay, you also can show your testimony to them by the way you live and the way you act. Okay, and you know, I mentioned this before, but this is important. In Deuteronomy 6:6, it's an easy one to remember, Deuteronomy 6:6. "And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart, and you should teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." In other words, we actually have to have Christian glasses, okay, that filters everything that we do and see through the Word of God. In fact, when you get into really studying deeply into the Word of God, that's when you use your microscope and you really get down deep and look deeply into the Word. And one of the things we have to remember is we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance. He's already prepared that. Remember the story I told you about we're all gifted and talented, and the fact is we have gifts and talents that were given us by the Holy Spirit? These are important for us to recognize. Now, I'm going to get back a little bit to some of the examples of things that the Lord has showed me that are scriptural in their essence, but they don't appear so as when you first look at them. And one of the things I remembered is for the first 5 years of my life, we lived in the city, Baltimore City, and one of the things we had was no refrigerator. And one of the things that happened was we had to have an ice box, and the ice box had a space in the bottom where a big block of ice would be brought in. And I remember very candidly that the man that delivered the ice, his name was Hank, and he would have this big block of ice, and he'd have this leather jacket on, which he would put the big block of ice on his shoulder with a pair of tongs holding it, and he would yell before he came into our house, "Iceman!" And my mom would say, "Come on up," and he would come up and put this big block of ice into the refrigerator. It was ice box. And one of the things that happened was it slowly melted away, and we had to have the ice man come again. Well, this is why we need to be constantly in the scriptures, because, see, things will eventually, we'll lose sight of them, we'll lose our thoughts about them. So we need to renew it. We need to, like, bring a new block of ice into our life every day. And, you know, words that satisfy as food satisfies the stomach. The right words are on a person's lips bring satisfaction. That's in Proverbs 18:20. And also, remember, we need to renew our mind. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's in Romans 12:2. You see, we need to be renewed daily. It's like that ice box. Yes, it kept things cold. It kept things fresh, but it gradually melted. So we need to be constantly aware that we need to be refreshed, replenished, just like that ice block that was there. And, you know, one of the things we find out is that in my neighborhood, it was really interesting because there were so many different people that we interacted with. There was the Iceman. We knew his name. My mom knew his name, and he would stop sometimes and talk with my mom. We knew about his family. He would share the pictures of his family and his new children with us. It was really neat because we had a relationship with him as an individual, as a person. And then, you know, you didn't just go and to a supermarket and get everything you needed. You had to go to a butcher to get your meats. And my mom would go to the butcher, and she would have to basically, she knew his name. He had pictures of his family there. And his name was John, and we knew our butcher's name. And then you didn't go, you went to a bakery, another place, and we knew his name. It was a lot of interaction with people, humans, which is very important. You know, we saw that during the COVID crisis that we had just very recently, we saw the children in school, not being in school, they didn't learn as well. We need to have physical interaction. Remember, we need to have interaction with other people because you know why? They were made also in the image of God. So these are things that I learned. And, you know, one of the things that I also really enjoyed right at the end of the street, and remember, for the first 5 years, that was till I was 5 years of age, we lived on Belknap Avenue. And guess what was at the end of the street? The Belknap movies. And I remember my father, even when I was little, he would bundle me up and take me to the movies because, see, my mom, she worked on opposite shifts as my dad, and so he would go to the movies and take me with him, and I'd sit there. And there was a reason why people went to the movies back then. One of the reasons was because there was no air conditioning in homes, but yet the movie theater was air conditioned, so we'd go to get cooled off. And one of the things also was you didn't just watch one particular movie. First of all, they had coming attractions. And, you know, coming attractions in the movie theater was very much like the prophets that we have today, like Jonathan Cahn, who looks into the future. And we saw what was to come in the movies, but actually we can also look into the Word of God to what the prophets say is on its way. And one of the neat things that was there is there was always cartoons, and also there were these things called cliffhangers. And what it was is there would be characters such as Flash Gordon or Zorro, and he would always get into trouble, and just when it looked like he was going to die or be defeated, it would stop, and then it was a cliffhanger, and then you had to come back next week to find out what the rest was. So, you know, I remember a little nursery rhyme, rub-a-dub-dub, three men in the tub, the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker. Remember the butcher and the baker? I talked about them. It was an important part of our life. And even there was another nursery rhyme called Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Sailor, Rich Man, Poor Man, Beggar Man, Thief. This was actually made into a song by a group called the Radiohead. See, what we need to be aware of, it's important for us to learn the names of people. It's important for us to interact with others, and we're seeing less and less and less of that. You know, that Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Sailor, Rich Man, Poor Man, Beggar Man, and Thief, that was actually a rhyme that was trying to look to see where you stopped in the reciting of the rhyme, and that would be your occupation. You might be a Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Sailor, Rich Man, Poor Man, Beggar Man, Thief. You know, as one of the Polish people, which I am one of, we had this little tradition. When you were 1 year old, they would sit you in a high chair and they'd put three objects in front of you. One was a shot glass, one was a silver dollar, and one was a rosary. And it was a big event. Everybody would gather around to see what your 1 year old would grab first. I remember what my mom related to me, what I grabbed first, and it was the rosary. And of course, I became very interested in spiritual things. But one of the things is, if you chose the shot glass, that would mean that you were a socializer and you were people oriented. It also might mean that you were going to be a drunk. Also, the coin represented you would be prosperous and driven by business orientation, or a rosary, you'd be religious and have an awareness of things like that. Well, these things, the Tinker Tailor and the Rub-a-Dub-Dub, three men in the dub, you know what? That's going away, because no longer do my parents know everybody that's in the bakery baking. They don't know the Iceman, because now we have a refrigerator. They don't know the butcher, because we get everything from Publix. Okay, but you know what's really sad? And this just came out. Amazon has created Amazon Go. There are no lines, no checkout, and no people. In other words, you walk in through a gate and you have a credit card that is geared to Amazon. You walk in and pick everything out you want in an empty store with no people. And then you walk out and it's automatically recorded what you've spent. This is kind of not really good as far as people getting interaction with other people. We need to interact with people. When you see somebody, whether anywhere, say hi to them. If you see a soldier, thank him for his service to our country. If you see a policeman, go up to him and thank him for the fact that he's out there risking his life to protect you. And see, one of the things we learned in that COVID, again, remote learning doesn't really work as well. Okay, so we need to make sure that we really are always available to other people, to open our eyes, to open our hearts to them. You remember, the whole earth is filled with his glory. We see that in Isaiah 6:3. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And the most important thing that's in it is us, this people. We need to learn people. We need to respect people. We need to look for opportunities to talk to people. Once you start talking to somebody, you open up a door. And you know, one of the things about opening doors, and when God opens a door, you know who's there to oppose the door? It's Satan. So we have to be very careful about him. So one of the things we need to remember is, you know, it's appointed once to man to die, and after that comes the judgment. And having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time. The set time when Jesus comes next, it's not going to be a pleasant thing for a lot of people, because he's going to be coming as judge. And what he's doing right now, he's not tarrying. He's basically, in my Father's house are many mansions. If were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you. That's where Jesus is now.
If children or listeners have any question about today's message, you can contact me, Glenn Swiston, at my email address, luvh2062@comcast.net. That's my email address at luvh2062@comcast.net. Now, if you don't have access to a computer, you can call me at 443-928-8548. That's 443-928-8548. Now, you may be wondering, all the information that you've received from this message, I have backed up with slides. And if you really would like to have the slides also, you can contact me at my email address, luvh2062@comcast.net, and I will send you all the slides that I used in today's presentation.